time. All right. The issue before you is to suspend or not to suspend the disaster declaration based on the recommendations. Actually, they read the FEMA recommend, the emergency people recommend to rescind the borough request for state disaster assistance. So we have to either go forward or rescind the borough request. So, Jerry.
I would recommend that we rescind it because according to this and what all it says here, that the borough already recognized this as an unstable slope and a common occurrence in that particular section of highway. And if we rescind that disaster, according to what I read here, then we can ask for funds directly from NRCS. Rather than waiting for them to declare it a disaster, which we've got one against us right here at the bottom, and we might get it that way. But otherwise, it would be a strike against us getting some funds. But that's just my opinion.
Sound like a motion to me.
So there's Jerry has made a motion. Stated as a recommendation, but in order to go forward, we need a motion. Is there a second?
I thought so.
I heard. Okay. Let's discuss that. Jerry added some rationale within the body of his motion. We're drawing your attention to the bottom of page 3. Saying that the unstable slope in the area of Lutac Road is in Ocean View Drive is already considered by the borough as a, quote, common occurrence in that particular section of the highway. So my question is, where'd they get that quote?
I don't know.
Borough recognizes it how? Does anybody know?
There's a website on January 17th. The updated common occurrence.
Okay, that would be my question.
It's on page 3.
Did you see it?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So it was reported by the borough.
Who did that?
Reported by the borough. Is it from a report? I'm sorry, if I could.
Yeah.
I guess the question would be if that was reported through one of the reports and we had the engineers down there and we had the website going and we were posting updates.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Possible.
I may have that update here. Norm.
I think the more driving issue is not what we reported and how they interpreted that. I think it's more pertinent in paragraph 1 on page 2, where down toward the bottom of that paragraph it says, because there are only a few homes with damage, and some of these may have homeowners insurance, which I know doesn't cover it, the current situation in Haynes may not meet the definition of a disaster, that being an occurrence of imminent threat, widespread or severe damage, injury, loss of life, property, or shortage of food, water, or fuel. I think that says it right there. And if we try to fit our situation into that current reference Alaska Statute 2623-900, we wouldn't go very far.
Thank you, Norman. I found that helpful to me. More discussion on Jerry's motion? Okay. Before you, there's a motion to rescind the disaster declaration. Yes?
If I could, and this is relevant. The NRCS, I should mention, that's the National Resource Conservation Service. That's USDA Rural Development. We have been in contact with this. It's a federal agency. They have expressed a willingness to provide assistance, technical, engineering, and or construction and repairs. And I think that's what we should be focusing on, is seeking assistance through NRCS.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out. Okay. Do you think we need a roll call vote on this? Do you have room for a roll call vote?
I do.
Probably to rescind a disaster declaration, we should have a roll call vote. I would be more comfortable with that. Thank you, Madam Clerk.
Madam Mayor, just for clarification, is that more technically to rescind our application to get that declared, or did we
It's to rescind the disaster declaration.
Yes. And it got me thinking, if I can
okay.
make a suggestion here, and perhaps an amendment, would be to rescind the disaster declaration, and the second part would be to and request assistance through NRCS.
Well, it could be a separate motion.
Yeah, it could be. Okay.
Okay. So okay. let's just, Norm, okay?
I was just wondering if we might need to insert the date of our, since we're suspending this declaration, maybe we should reference the date that it was made.
Or the resolution number.
Certainly, in the that would be helpful, but I don't know what it is. Okay, resolution 1202330 on February 3rd. So rescind the disaster declaration through, resolution 1203, what was it? 1202330 of February 3rd. Thank you.
2012.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Let's proceed with a roll call vote now that we've taken care of those critical details. Thank you.
Assembly Member Vick.
Yes.
Schnabel.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Lapp.
Yes.
And Hoffman.
Yes.
Carried unanimously 5-0.
Okay. Before you is the fireworks display liability. Yes.
If you want to make that other motion.
Yes, we do. Thank you very much. And it was to request assistance from NRCS.
Yes, I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Jerry. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Okay, is there any particular discussion, or have we already? We understand. Okay, all right. All those in favor of going forward with requesting assistance from NRCS as described by the manager, please signal by raising your right hand. Thank you. All right. Now we're here for fireworks. Finally. All right. So the assembly met as a committee of the whole and discussed the chamber's request for the assembly to accept responsibility for the 4th of July fireworks display. And as we discussed in the committee of the whole, or clarified, the chamber's request was for the borough to sponsor the fireworks under its insurance policy, and the chamber nicely agreed to continue to do all the paperwork that's and advertising that's involved in the event. How do you move, assembly members?
Are you going to give me an opportunity to speak? Second, I was just asking you about.
Well. We could, I suppose, make a special dispensation for you. We were hoping you would appear at our Committee of the Whole meeting.
My sincerest apologies. I intended to be here, and I got caught with clients all afternoon. So let me be clear on this. When I first looked at this issue, it was pretty black and white. We play this shell game every year with the borough. The only thing the chamber asks money from the borough for is for the 4th of July, for the fireworks. So every year the chamber asks for money. The borough gives the chamber money. All of the money that the borough gives the chamber for the fireworks goes to the fireworks display. And in the process, the chamber ends up being the official sponsor of the fireworks, which looked at from a risk management standpoint makes zero sense whatsoever, because the borough
Haynesboro has a massive insurance policy. When I made this first suggestion, I suggested to you, look, you guys could run this under your insurance. This is such a small risk, given your huge amount of risk, that it's not even going to cost you any extra money. Conversely, it does cost the chamber more money because it's the biggest risk that we run. You guys run a bigger risk every day just having cops on the streets with guns and people, public facilities, etc. The chamber doesn't have any big risk. This is the only one it has. So, put simply, this is one of my notes I stated. This is very much like the Green Berets hiring the Boy Scouts of America for security. It makes no sense whatsoever. And not only does it cost us money, but quite frankly, I mean, my job every day is to counsel people on getting the proper insurance coverage. We don't have the proper insurance coverage for this. The chamber has a $1 million policy. The borough probably has, what's your policy, a $5, $10, $20 million umbrella policy, so that if something happened, as it could with fireworks, if there was an explosion and someone died, if people died, it would be properly covered. Now, it's been suggested that, you know, this isn't just, we're just not kicking the can back and forth. You know, your insurance agent suggested to you that, you know, you shouldn't take on any more liability. I put it to you that that is a ridiculous statement. He's obviously not looking, he's not local, so he's not looking at this from the community's perspective, because the bottom line is what's in the best interest of the community is also in the best interest of the borough. And in this circumstance, if this event is not properly covered, the community suffers. And to put this in proper perspective, it's also important to understand that where there is additional risk perceived, there is additional premium. If you get an auto insurance policy and you say, okay, I'm going to add another driver, invariably there will be additional premium. Your insurance policy is so big that when you came to them with this request, they said, no, it's not going to cost you anything else. Of course it's not, but because the perceived increase in risk is so nominal as to not even be worth them charging you more money. But the result is that the public is protected in a huge way, more than the chamber could ever afford to do. And it's the proper thing to do to have the public covered properly for this event. And I'd be happy to answer any questions, but that's really the scope of it. It's very much like asking the chamber to build a church for Easter Sunday. And I will even go so far as to say that if the borough wanted to give the chamber more money to get more insurance, I would flat out refuse it, because this community, the businesses, do not want to see the borough spend more money for nothing, and that's exactly what this is. I mean, the fact that we're taking on more insurance for a risk that the borough, I mean, you guys see fit to give us money for this every year, so you must think it's worthwhile. But it's no, it makes no sense for us to pay more insurance for it, especially when it's not enough insurance to cover it properly. So.
Thank you, Ned. I'm sorry you weren't here earlier.
I'm sorry.
That's
okay. I really apologize.
That, because we did discuss many of those points. And for the public that wasn't here when we were discussing it, Ned is referring to the advice from our insurer, who said it probably won't increase your premium, but it will definitely increase your liability exposure. And he questioned whether the borough wanted to take on the exposure, and he gave us examples of other communities, Ketchikan, the city and borough of Juneau, who have other, do not take on this liability, but instead support clubs in other parts of their community that do. Skagway operates similarly. So that's our sticking point, whether or not the borough wants to take on this increased liability. How do you move, Assembly?
I move that we take the borough take on the increased liability of covering the fireworks display on the 4th of July.
Okay. Is there?
I'll second it.
Okay.
And call it.
It's been moved and seconded that the borough take on the increased liability for the fireworks display. Yes.
Yeah, Jerry. When I had our committee meeting, I know I was opposed to this, but after the way Ned explained it, it only makes sense because if we take it on, it's not going to cost us anything. And that extra money that they are paying out insurance can go to more fireworks, so you get a better display for your money.
The chamber has asked us for $4,000 for the fireworks display this year. Last year, we gave them $3,500.
Can I clarify that, too? If Joan put that forward with the thought that, you know, you might not take it on, but the idea is if, you know, the chamber won't be asking for money, if you're the official sponsor, then you actually pay for it as well. And so, you're paying for it as it is. There's not, it's always been 100% of the borough money goes from us, goes from the from the borough to the chamber, and then the chamber pays the contractor. So we would be rescinding our request for any funds for this because it's...
Okay. This complicates the matter significantly. Because we have a memorandum of agreement that indicates that the chamber will do everything short of presenting us, including presenting us with the paperwork that the borough needs to sign. And so we are not looking for dealing with a contractor. We're not looking for picking fireworks. We're not looking for any of that activity. And so I assume that the chamber would continue to do all that work.
We would continue to do all that work. The difference is when you write a check, instead of writing it to the Haines Chamber of Commerce, you write it to the guy who buys the fireworks. That's the only difference. Because if the chamber still writes the check, then there's a liability chain for the chamber and you're compromising it.
There's a motion on the table. We're discussing the motion. Jill, do you have a concern?
I'm confused about whether the borough would be hiring an employee to set off the fireworks or whether they would be paying a contractor and whether that contractor would be covering their own liability insurance if they would be covered by the borough's workman's comp or if they if there's injury to the person setting off the fireworks.
The devil is in the details, isn't that what you say? Deborah, you had your hand up, did you?
Well, I'm processing the difference, and I'm just right now thinking that I certainly don't want to get involved in an employee, and I'm imagining that we would have a contract that would all be set up by the Chamber of Commerce as a volunteer organization to set everything up and present as the Mayor just stated, present the documents which we sign, including a contract with pyrotechnicians who are certified and qualified and licensed to do these things. Correct? Man?
Correct.
They are. Yeah. And the church.
Why did you just say that and insured?
It's
double insurance? Then what are we talking about?
Need big insurance.
They have insurance.
I would assume they do. They're licensed. You know, I to be honest with you, I have not been on that level. They're a contractor that the fire marshal has always been happy with, and.
Okay, let's have Steve.
It kind of points to what I'm going to allude to is the idea that we are going to contract out to somebody the display of the fireworks, and we're going to take liability for any error that may happen with the contractor that they contracted out to. Well, no, it's not how it's worked in the past. In the past, we've given them the money, and they've been the ones that did the hire, and they've done all that, and we've just granted the money. Now we have liability that we're passing on to a third party that's going to pass that on to a third party. We're twice removed and still liable. That would be a concern.
Just to clarify how I'm seeing it is that the Chamber of Commerce would be acting as the employee or the person or the agent, to make sure that it happens for us. That's what I'm imagining. So it's not that it's so much removed, it's that we are having somebody that's coming in and volunteering to do all of the paperwork for us. It's our project. It's our project to make sure that there's fireworks and that we are protected in case something lands on somebody's boat and blows it up, or something skittles into somebody's eye and burns it out, or...
I know.
What are we talking about? $1,500.
Why are we doing this?
But I have come to peace with it. If the community wants a fireworks display, then let's give them a fireworks display. And I want to go one step further to say that it has always intrigued me that the conservative element of the community, the fiscally conservative element of the community, which is our locally owned small businesses, are the ones who come to us and say, we think it's really cool that the borough spend public dollars on fireworks. I kind of like that. It's the only time they ever want us to spend money, it's on fireworks. it just intrigues me, and it's one of the reasons I'm willing to do it. isn't that true?
Okay, Damon.
Well, I lean that way as well. As far as the sort of the past practices, if the community really feels like this is part of the fabric of the fabric of the community or whatever, then we should have it. And I guess the reason that I would say that, even though I'm not going to go to it probably, and I think it's a waste of money, is that it's somewhat controlled. So we don't have everyone doing their own thing, you know, on the beach over here or at the LUTAC over there, and then you have three different potential fires or eyes getting torn out and boats blowing up. So I guess in that direction, I would agree with Deborah. It seemed in the previous meeting we were kind of leaning towards, let's just give them the money, and then Ned said, well, even if you gave us the money, we're not going to do it because it's a waste of money. So I'm a little confused.
Is it a waste?
Would you like clarification on that?
Well, wait.
Well, but anyway, that's I have a hard time with it. But like Deborah, I can see the benefit.
Okay, Jerry, would you like to?
No, I already spoke. I'll call for the question if you want.
Okay.
Yeah, wake up,
Norman. Norman.
This X factor, and the X factor is how much does the chamber spend for this event? Because this goes way back. This goes back 10 years ago when I was on the city council. It was the same deal. It's the chamber's approach to the city council and wants money for the fireworks. And then in recent times, it's been, well, the economically depressed community of Haines still wants the fireworks, and the chamber can't raise the money. The money used to come from the individual businesses. And it wasn't too long ago where
so-and-so put up $100, so-and-so put up $50, so-and-so put $75 up. And now this thing has graduated to the point where they're going to have this glorious fireworks show and blow up all these tax dollars. And this guy that is contracted, he's the pyrotechnician, he's got to have insurance to do this. Or are we buying him insurance? What if he blows himself up out there? Who is liable? I mean, I think that's the question. And I personally think the fireworks is great, but I have a hard time watching that $4,000 or $10,000 going, well, it's over. I mean, I've got a videotape from 97 that has a 45-minute show. We can put it on a big screen and show it for everybody. We won't have to pay anything except set up big screens at the Chilkat Center. I mean, I think we've spent enough time on this. I can't vote for this. I think the whole thing's crazy. The chamber wants $4,000? Okay, we'll give them $4,000. But I don't think the borough needs the responsibility, any more responsibility. I think the responsibility lies on the guy who blows the stuff up.
Okay, I would thank you, Norman. I would like a clarification on the motion. The motion is that the borough take on the liability for the fireworks, correct? And that does not mean the cost of the fireworks. That does not mean that you are committing yourself to how much the fireworks cost to put on. I just want that to be absolutely clear, that is not what you're agreeing to at this point in time. I don't know how much the fireworks are going to cost. So, Gila.
I'd like to say something. Mr. Rozbicki had a couple of analogies he made when he was talking about how ridiculous it is to not to have the borough cover this under his insurance. And I would like to make a quick analogy that I know of from my work, which is that when you pay less for something, it's because you're taking a risk, and you're paying less because you're taking on a risk. Or the alternative is, in my job, I invest money for the borough, and right now, I have to buy AA securities, which are very big, very secure firms or government agencies. And if the borough invests money 2 years, we're getting about 0.5% return. We invest $1 million for 2 years, we get 0.5% return. And that is because we are virtually assured we're going to get our money back. If we bought junk bonds, you know, B bonds, double B bonds, we would get 4%. So we're throwing money away, not buying triple B bonds, throwing it away. The reason we buy double A or triple A is because we get more security and we're being careful with our money. It's the exact same way with the proposal our insurance agent made about giving the chamber money to have it under their policy. Rather than, Ned says, it's cheaper for the community to cover it under your policy because you don't have to pay an additional premium. Well, I don't believe that's true. It's cheaper this year if we don't have an accident. But if it was cheaper in the long run, the insurance agencies would pay millions of dollars to actuaries to figure out what to charge us. So I just wanted to make that analogy.
Thank you, Sheila. Steve, thank you.
It was brought up during the cow that the actual, what was his name, Digger or the guy who sells
Grizz?
Grizz has policies that are available per show. Another option for this would be to the person who puts on the show, that the borough offer to buy that policy for the person who puts on the show.
Sure, but that's not the request that's in front of us. The motion in front of us.
It's not the motion, but I'm saying
yes.
That an avenue we can take.
Yes,
this,
thank
may
you.
Actually be beneficial to the ones who are concerned about taking on ourselves and the chamber who doesn't want to do it anymore, that there may be a third option of a party that would be willing to take on the liability. It would say a lot about how safe that person feels about how good a show and how safe a show is going to be.
Okay. again, I want to be clear that this motion does not obligate the borough to any more than taking this event under its wing as liability. It doesn't mean the borough is going to do any contracting, any buying of fireworks, any hiring of people, et cetera, et cetera. All of that is undecided, I guess, you know, but do you have a question? No? Are we ready?
I'm more confused now than I was in the
What are you confused about, Dana? Let's make sure you're not.
Well, we're talking about taking on the insurance.
That's exactly right. Which probably, as our insurance agent says, will cost us nothing. We don't even know whether it will or not. Probably, he says, it will not cost us anything. So if you agree to this, there are hidden costs lurking everywhere. And so,
an insurance person in the room, by any chance?
Not our insurance person. So remember, it's our insurance person who is advising us. So I think it's very important. Deborah.
When you say our insurance person is advising us, our insurance person, all that's been stated so far is that there probably will not be any increased costs.
Oh, he also advises us not to do it.
And the reason is?
Liability. It will increase your liability exposure. Is this part of the borough operation that you want to accept liability for? He questioned whether the borough wanted to take on the exposure for the possibility of something going wrong with the display and there being a great deal of injury to people and property. And then he gave examples. He suggested the borough would be better off increasing the donation to the chamber to offset the cost of their increased premium, which has been undetermined. I've asked the chamber to tell us what their increased premium would be, and they've been unable to come up with a sum. Ned, did you ever come up with a price?
I got a quote early on. The underwriter hasn't gotten back to me, but as I recall, it was between $500 or $1,000 difference. But I wasn't able to separate when I first got that, I wasn't able to separate the insurance from the rest of the 4th of July. I'm sorry, the fireworks on the rest of 4th of July, because the 4th of July event, that's all kind of tied into one, and so that would have to be separated. But,
this might be something you wish to postpone. Deborah.
Through the chair, I'd like to ask, why has this become an issue for the chamber? The chamber has hosted this for 10, 15 years. Why? I'm asking you that. what has happened?
Okay, thank you. That's a great question. Ned?
Happy to answer it. And the answer is because the chamber has a president who happens to act as an insurance agent, and I can see the insanity of the way it's set up. Now, let me be clear, too. An insurance agent here and chamber president here, what I'm before you arguing for right now is to decrease my pay. Because if the chamber insurance premium goes down, I get paid a percentage of the premium. That's how I get paid. I am arguing for less pay for this policy in the same way that I argued for less pay for my policy with the taxi company by lobbying on their behalf, because that's the right thing to do. Whereas your insurance agent is not looking out for the benefit of the community, because the loss here is if something goes wrong and it's there's two issues. There's the amount it costs us, but there's also the amount of coverage we have. A $1 million policy won't cover it if a couple people get killed. And so the people who lose are the community if it's not adequately covered. If it is adequately covered, then it's, I mean, that's a proper thing for the borough to do, is to cover it properly if they want the insurance done. And I would put to you also the fact that other communities do it this way. The reason all these nonprofits take off on this risk is because they don't know any better. They don't know that, oh, we got $1 million insurance policy, no problem. They don't realize that taking on that risk creates huge additional exposure for them. But what I would throw out there as well is, if, think about this. When's the last time you heard of a catastrophic fireworks accident in Alaska where somebody died or something happened? I mean, this could go on for 1,000 years and nothing would ever happen. But the difference is, if the chamber has $1 million policy and something horrible goes wrong, number one, maybe somebody doesn't get compensated properly, and that's a, that harms the public. Number two, maybe the Chamber of Commerce completely goes away because they get destroyed in the lawsuit. Whereas if it happens to the borough, you've got the coverage to handle it properly. The public is adequately protected, and that's the way it should be. I mean, you guys are paying for this. You can opt to take the legal responsibility and not fund it this year, and it goes away. Or you can not opt to take the responsibility and don't fund it, it goes away. Either way, it's something you're funding, but you're refusing to take the responsibility for in the past. And so it's been brought up because I'm in insurance and I realize that it puts the chamber at a ridiculous risk for something that you're contracting for, but don't take the responsibility for.
Damon?
Yeah, I think
so does the borough gives money to the swim team as a nonprofit. Does the borough pay the insurance, cover the liability for the swim team and other nonprofits?
No. And
would that, so then does that set up a,
well, I mean, that's exactly what I mean.
The
I
next,
I
the preschool
I,
come in
I was
say, and,
thinking that the bike race would probably come and visit the borough and ask us to please cover their liability insurance, since we are so concerned about the public's interest. Or, you know, I do think this is a simple request, and that's why we had a cow and to discuss it. And I was hoping that we would be clearer in terms of resolving this issue. Steve, did you have something?
No, I was just going to give another analogy similar to what you said and he said, because he made me think of one. And
yeah.
But there's a lot of analogies.
Jerry.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm confused too, because when we made the
withdraw your motion, let's move on.
But okay, no. But when we made the motion and stuff, it was for coverage, and then Ned came back and said, "No, we're actually going to have you take over the whole thing." It's basically what you said.
No.
Yes, it was. Yeah, the fireworks. Yes, I mean that's what
the question
came out of. But I guess I would rather see this, if the chamber doesn't want to do it and we're worried about it, I would rather see the pyrotech guy or the fire department take it on, and they would provide their own insurance. I mean, if you did a contract with the pyrotech guy or whatever he is, they could provide their own insurance. And I don't know, it seems to me like that would be a much cleaner way to go than trying to do what we're doing right now.
Okay. All right, so we have a motion on the table to take on the liability for the fireworks display, 4th of July. Deborah?
I just wanted to say that I'm going to speak for it,
mm-hmm.
Even in light of all this. I recognize fully that it is taking a risk, but there is something about stepping out to do it because somebody has to do it. And I think that we're the ones that should do it.
Okay. All right. Are you ready to vote?
Question.
Okay. Any objection to voting? Sounds like we're ready to vote. All right. All right. A roll call vote, please. All the.
Okay.
Since it's taking on liability, stand behind your
Assembly Member Smith.
No.
Lap.
You want to have a committee meeting?
No.
Hoffman.
No.
Vic.
No.
Schnabel.
Yes.
Okay, it failed. 1-4.
Okay. The next thing in front of you is
yes. If I could, it might be worth having further discussions on if the chamber indeed just wants not to have a liability, the responsibility that we may in the future have to discuss different ideas to provide feathers.
That's right. Always open. Okay. You have before you a memo from me asking you to consider examining the removal of the economic development, the Department of Economic Development and its director from its place in the code. And I, you know, explained to you my thinking. And I determined that it to do so does not affect the 1% sales tax or the fund itself, but this would be a task for the personnel committee to take on. And I wonder if you would like to move in that direction, and if so. Make that motion, and then it will be done. It will start through the personnel committee, which doesn't predetermine the outcome of the action. Yes, Norman.
Well, Assemblyman Waterman is the chair of the personnel committee, and since she's not here to speak for or against this, I would like to. And I'm a member of the personnel committee, and being as there is no personnel director at this point in time, it's just something in the code, I don't see the necessity to address this tonight. I think it should be deferred until Assemblyman Waterman returns.
Okay, so it would be a motion to postpone indefinitely? Or
yes.
Is that...
Yes.
That takes it off the table totally.
It could be postponed until the next meeting at which she will be back.
Okay. Would that be okay, Norman, to postpone it until Joanne, until Assemblyperson Waterman?
Yep.
Okay. So there's a second to that. All right. And discussion. Deborah?
I think this is an example of how the assembly gets confused in the distinction between what's legislative and what's administrative. I recognize fully that we have a code that provides for the department and provides for a director. I do support fully removing that. And I think that's all that we need to do. Because the code then provides also that the manager is responsible for the organization and the chart that defines what jobs and positions there are in the organization. The only exceptions are officers. Officers are in code. Mm-hmm. But everybody else is... is a part of what the manager brings to organize the human resources and to get the work done. So I don't think we need to go beyond just deleting this from code. To have the personnel committee address the necessity for the position is not proper. It's the
you know, to take that step is not proper.
Okay.
What's proper is to have the manager, at whatever point the manager wants to bring on an economic development director, they can do it. In fact, I think the code is what stymies the manager in a way from doing what the manager wants to do in organizing. So I fully support. Oh, we have something on the floor.
We have a motion on the table, which is to take it to the personnel committee when Assemblyperson Waterman returns, and it's been moved and seconded, and the manager is a member of that committee, so he's a voting member of that committee, so that's that brings him into the mix. Steve?
I think it's appropriate. I can second, I can explain it, but I would want to amend this to change it from postpone to table.
Okay, and that means it's second. Just... And that there is no discussion for
is it okay to
table.
That's correct. Just to clarify, table, in essence, is quite often used to kill something, mm-hmm. but you can bring it back. It's just somebody has to deliberately move to remove something from the table in order to bring it back.
Okay, but there's no...
Quite often it just kind of goes into a black hole.
If I may? Mm-hmm. By making the motion then, in my, there's no discussion, there's no way to comment on...
That's right. Why. So, and it takes precedence. So we will vote on the motion to table this proposal to take this, let's see, we're tabling.
It's really got convoluted.
Yeah,
it was an amendment to change postponed to a certain time, which was basically a symbol of the Waterman being in attendance, to changing it to motion to table. New territory. I have to have a moment to check.
Mm-hmm. What exactly are we tabling?
The issue?
Yeah, we'd be right. That,
taking it to the personnel committee.
Mm-hmm.
Right. My intention is maybe if it's simpler, we can wait for this initial amendment to be passed or not passed, and then I can make an amendment again. But the intention is to have the motion read that we are tabling this.
Okay. Okay, so...
And I have reasons, but I can't. But apparently I can't tell you.
Okay. Okay, so the amendment is...
Postpone.
Well, the motion on the table is to postpone taking this matter to the personnel committee. Mm-hmm. Until Assemblymember Waterman can attend.
Okay.
And then there was a motion to amend that to change it to tabling it instead of postponing it. And I don't know if that's proper or not.
I think that's,
but
I think that's okay. So if we pass this amendment, it effectively tables it. We'll vote again after we vote on this one. Okay. So all those in favor of tabling instead of postponing, please signal by raising your right hand. Okay, opposed? All right. It fails. So the motion on the motion is to postpone it. Yes, Deborah.
I'm sorry, do we have something on the table?
Yes, we have a motion to... Yes, we do. So it's the motion to postpone. Would you like to make amendment?
I would like to speak against it.
Okay. Speak against what?
Point of order.
Your amendment failed.
Oh, it's right, meeting four.
That's right. Sorry. Okay.
I'd like to speak against it because...
Against what?
Against the motion to postpone this discussion.
Okay. Right.
I want to have the discussion to advance the staff work to bring forward the ordinance to delete this section. I think that moving that forward is a good thing. Assemblywoman Waterman will show up and it will be something that we have to hear for 3 weeks anyway, or,
okay.
You know, 3 months anyway, so we'll have adequate time. Just want to
okay, okay, so You were speaking against the motion to postpone. Yes, Steve.
Right. I'll try it a different way. I would make an amendment to this to postpone it until the first meeting after the budget is approved. So,
okay. There is an amendment on the table to postpone this until the first meeting after the budget is approved. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Steve, go.
So right now we're looking at five personnel changes, a budget process coming up, tours are on the way. There's just a lot of stuff going on. I don't see this as emergency or a priority. I agree with the sentiment in it, 90%. But I would like to wait until after the transition period, after we get a full, hopefully a full staff hire, and after the budget process, so that this is just one less thing that staff has to take on during a time that's going to be stressful and burdensome.
Okay, thank you. All right, Norman?
Would it help if I withdrew my motion?
No, not at this point.
And oh, so, why not?
Because we're about to vote on it. Is there anybody else who would like to speak to Steve's motion to postpone it until when? After
first meeting after
the budget will be adopted by June 15th, so it would be maybe that second meeting in June. All right. All those in favor of the amendment, signal by raising your right hand. Okay, opposed? Left. Okay, it failed. Okay. The motion on the table is to postpone this item until Assemblymember Waterman returns in her capacity as chair of the Personnel Committee. Any more discussion? Okay. All those in favor of postponing this item until Assemblymember Waterman returns, please signal by raising your right hand. Opposed? Okay. Let's see. It fails. All right, Deborah.
I move that the Haynesboro delete Section 2.54.010 from the Haynesboro Code.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
All right. Deborah, would you like to? You've already explained yourself. Yes. Okay, is there any more discussion?
Question.
Damon.
Real quick. That means it has to go through the ordinance, the normal ordinance. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Steve?
I was going to ask to look at the code, but if it passes, the code would be put before us.
It's before you now. It's right here.
It's right there.
It's a one sentence deletion. Jerry. Sorry.
Wouldn't it be easier to just change the word "shall" to "may," and then that fixes everything?
You could do that.
Oh, just don't do any more, please.
Steve.
So for the same reason that I wanted to postpone this until after the budget, I'm not going to vote in favor of this because it will end up on the agenda. I'll have to take three meetings. It's not a priority right now.
Okay. Thank you.
It's not
heard. Okay. All right. All those in favor of the motion to strike 2.54010 from the Haynesboro Code, signal by raising your right hand. Okay. Four in favor, opposed? Okay. Yes. All right. Thank you very much. Items for future assembly meetings. Anybody have anything that they feel needs to be addressed or not? Steve.
I'm not sure how this would work, but David had brought it up when we were talking about accepting the resignation of the manager. And I guess what I'd like to see is if there's some way for the assembly to have a meeting, Cal, that is probably facilitated a discussion
to see if it, we have a lot of turnover right now, and to see what role the assembly may be playing in that in some sense. If there's something we can be doing better, if there's something that we need to improve on, I think that's a discussion that the assembly should undertake to see if there's something we haven't been doing that we should be doing, or something that we can improve upon. I think there's a lot of resignations that make a lot of people question. And if we have any role in that, I think it would be wise of us to see, to investigate that and see if we can learn something.
Okay, sometimes that's called an exit interview. And, you know, it's often undertaken when an employee leaves. Can be done in executive session or it, depending on the, you know, the wishes of the employee. I'm not exactly sure, you know, how to structure that. What is the, you know, the wish of the assembly on that score?
If I may respond, I'm not necessarily asking for an exit review or an exit meeting with anyone who's departing, but so I think the feedback would be good. But it, maybe it's not necessary to have employees come in and say exactly what, but at least have the assembly address concerns or ideas or things that we've heard that people are concerned about. But it may be good to have employees there too, so it's not necessarily just an exit. I'm not exactly sure what it would be, but I think it's a topic we need to undertake. Just to give an honest, objective, it's hard to be objective of ourselves, but an objective view of what we're doing and how well we're doing it.
Okay. Deborah?
And I appreciate that very much. I think it's called board training. I think it's called training about what an assembly, you know, is supposed to be doing, is what you're asking us to look at how well we're doing our job. And that's a question. That is not what you're asking?
That's part of it.
Okay, I think unless there's a concrete, you know, proposal, but it sounds like we're going to have time to consider this and maybe some time, additional time to craft the, you know, the activity that you want, that we could consider undertaking. Would that be acceptable to you rather than deciding right now? I mean,
we're not deciding anything. You asked if ideas for an upcoming meeting. I thought this might be one of them to try to figure out if you want a specific.
Okay. Well, usually this is an action item, so it would be something that we would all agree to, and so we need it to be stated as we want to do X, and people would agree to it, and that kind of thing. So, but it's a great idea. I do appreciate it, and want to just leave it out there as an idea.
Sure, I guess I can meet with people and discuss ideas on what platform or meeting form that we'd want to undertake.
Be careful about meeting with people. Remember, we have to meet in public, so.
Not necessarily. Yes.
Okay. Damon.
Well, and I agree with Steve. I think the direction that I would see it going, we get to do a manager evaluation. The manager gets to do a staff evaluation. There's all these evaluations, but then these action items come from it. We say, well, the manager needs to do this. We would like to see the manager do this, and we would like to see these things happen. And we don't get to see the staff saying, This is how I perceive the assembly. This is how I feel that the assembly is not taking these things into account. I don't know. I mean, and it comes from the emails that we had. I would say I don't think that there is any dissent within the staff, and that's why I think we're doing something wrong because we have turnover. We've lost, we're going to lose three or four people here. And I think we need to look at ourselves and ask ourselves if we as the assembly are the ones who are maybe at fault here too, or at fault.
Well, I think that would be an activity that you could undertake as a committee meeting, a committee of the whole, and if you we could set up a committee of the whole to discuss exactly that, and that'd be fine. But I think it's a question of looking at the roles and responsibilities of assembly members and relationships with staff, that kind of thing. And I have to agree with Assemblymember Schnabel that it is on the lines of board training. So if we want to undertake that, we can do that. Steve?
Something Damon said helped me focus a little bit in on what I was still trying to express, but that, you know, we give a review of the manager reviews the staff, but who reviews us?
The electorate. We are elected officials.
I hear what you're saying, but when we're in the middle of transitions that we're dealing with now, mm-hmm. where's the review process? How can we look at ourselves objectively? I guess that would be the question to ask, and how to perceive that. And that may be the question that leads us into the format that would be the best.
Okay. I really think we need to reserve that. I think it was excellent questions, and we need to reserve them for a committee of the whole meeting where we can have, because we have a format here that requires a motion to be on the table for discussion, and we've strayed too far from that for my comfort level. So, but committee of the whole are great meetings to engage that with maybe a set of questions that we could, reflective questions that we could, that would guide us. Yeah, so we can work on that. All right? Okay? Deborah.
Is that topic
That's
over?
It. Yes.
Okay. In my packet, there was a letter, Golder Associates, mm-hmm. It was regarding salmon. Was that just offered as something for the Commerce Committee or something? It was just kind of... It wasn't on the agenda, was it? No, but it was just there.
It was an attachment to the manager.
It was an attachment
just,
to the manager.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, okay.
Yeah, update. It's
okay. Okay. Because I noticed there was a thing called Crab Excursion or something around it. But that wasn't talked about at all. It was a title of no comments.
Maybe I could explain that this was that J.R. Churchill request, and the assembly through a budget amendment ordinance had authorized up to $15,000.
Yes.
That same meeting when the assembly moved to authorize that dollar amount to be included in the budget amendment ordinance, there was a second motion that authorized the manager to enter into a contract for that, but to report back, to give the status reports to the assembly through his manager's report every 3 months. And it's been like 3 months, so... And we just entered into that contract.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was just to let you know.
The contract exists.
It does.
Okay. Very good.
Okay. Yes. It's a very good, excellent document. Okay. Meeting dates. We have, you've been provided a draft, a schedule of budget meeting dates that the CFO has prepared. I have it somewhere. The first one to be on 4/10 prior to an assembly meeting. Second one on 4/24, so on. Have you examined that document, and are you comfortable with those dates?
Those are the only review. I'm sorry.
There. Do you not have it?
Sorry. I turned my computer off.
Here. It's
in the packet. It's not in the packet.
Oh, it wasn't in the packet?
No.
I didn't see it.
Yes.
Maybe you can get one in our boxes, and then we can examine it and let you know at the next meeting.
Okay. Well, the next
or before the next meeting. Yeah.
Okay. We can do that. Yeah, Steve.
If the first meeting is prior to our next meeting, maybe we could set that date today.
Yes, that would be a very good idea. So that would be 4:10, 12 at 4:30. That would be the first budget committee of the whole meeting. And then at... Are you... Norm?
I'd like to request that there be food provided by somebody.
Okay.
To come from the mayor's discretionary budget.
Okay.
I'm going to be here from 4:30 until probably 10 o'clock. And I like to have dinner.
Okay, we'll find something for you to eat in between the budget meeting, unless the budget. But yes, we'll manage. Thank you. Okay.
4:30. That was.
Yes, and are there any other meetings to schedule? Committee meetings? Nope. I know that there are meetings that are scheduled, are there not?
Yeah. There should be a conversation meeting.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, it's always...
The fourth. Wednesday at 5 o'clock.
The 4th.
It'll be the 4th?
And there is a Government Affairs and Services Committee, Steve, is that
the
correct?
The 3rd.
Yep.
Third.
Okay.
Third.
Okay, all right, good. Assembly comments. I would like to. I know I'm not a member of the assembly, but I do have something to say. Yes, Jerry.
Public comments first.
I do, except I want to make sure that Julie displays to you an artifact. And we had forgotten about it. This is a document from 1910, and it is what, Julie?
102 years old.
And it is the first.
Yes, this is the first minutes, starting with January 26, 1910, and going to April 1, 1914. This is one of the finds in our records management scanning project, and it's pretty special, needless to say, and we wish that we had discovered this for our centennial year before last, but it's rather fascinating that there are, like, it's four and a half pages of, and all of it is hand, it's old, the fountain pens, ink pens, might have even been quills, I don't know. But you can see on here where they dipped each time, you know, because it's darker, and then it gets lighter, and then they had to dip into the ink well again, and...
So,
yeah,
I don't know, but it's really, it's just amazing. It's all handwritten and.
Do they have to be amended?
So we're going to be we're working on scanning this. We're working with the museum to make sure that these are preserved, and unfortunately, we also found some very old ordinances that are in pretty bad shape, but we're researching how to restore those. And they're pretty fascinating as well. But the goal is to get all of that stuff on the website, so everyone should enjoy them.
No. Norm's worried, isn't it? The handwriting is exquisite.
It is pretty amazing.
Absolutely beautiful. Okay, thank you. I wanted to get that in. Julie specifically brought it. I asked her to bring it tonight to share it with you. Assembly comments. Norm?
Thank you, Damon, for the candy.
And the pen. Yes, thank you. Gary?
Yes, thank you, Damon. Appreciate you bringing a little bit of Hawaii over to us.
Yeah, she brought me some of that Primo beer, though.
Damon, do you have any comments?
Well, I would like to... I'd like to thank everybody for the effort so that I can hear in the meetings. The I mean, there were a lot of people who spoke during that, on the assembly and in the public, who really made a good effort so that I could hear. I mean, it's challenging enough as it is, and I think I heard most of it.
I think you did.
I think I heard the right thing. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Deborah. I won't miss you, Norm. Tom. Deborah, do you have any comments?
No.
No?
Welcome
and
back.
And Steve, nothing? And I skipped public comments. Public.
I'd like to make a couple comments.
Thank you, Tom.
I feel that the borough manager position is not been clearly defined, and that's part of the problem. Because the assembly doesn't give the manager clear direction. The manager's new to town, he kind of goes off on his own way and does his own things, and the assembly doesn't really follow through with the manager on stuff. I mean, I preferred when there was a mayor-strong government where the mayor would direct the manager, but we shifted over when we changed from city rule to borough-wide rule. And the problem with that is you don't have an anchor that's telling the manager, how the community feels about things and what needs to be done. And so I think that's part of the problem here. You need to reevaluate that role and maybe we can go back to that role. I've been here for 25 years. I've seen lots of managers come through here. And some people are easy to work with and some aren't. But the problem is nobody's very rooted to the community. So I would hope in the hiring process that we really evaluate that and try to find somebody locally with the knowledge that could be our borough manager. Skagway has managers year after year. Bob Ward was there for 11 years. I mean, this guy Tom Smith's been there for lots of years. So there's a reason why there's stability in government and management. I certainly wasn't in favor of an assistant manager position with a combined salary of $186,000 plus benefits. I mean, for $120,000, we could probably find one person that could do the job, perhaps. But I really think we need to reevaluate the whole borough manager goals, planning, what their roles are, and how they react with the community and with the assembly. And I would hope that organization and efficiency be part of the job description. One other point, I was at the Chilcat Center for performance 2 weeks ago. That is an amazing theater. That is a community asset that we can't let go. And I don't know where we stand now on roof replacement. Does anybody know?
I know something.
Okay. Do you, Mark, do you have a roof replacement?
The engineer. Is that out to bid?
The engineering.
Okay, at least we need to put a new roof on the Chilcat Center. I mean, the acoustics in there when those three women were singing, it is spectacular. It's the only performance facility we have in Haines. The Arts Council depends on it. Community members depend on it. That's where we go to hear performance. So that is something that needs priority attention. It needs to be done this season. We can't go through another winter like this of having that roof that's on there and the condition of that facility. Also, you might partner with the Haines Arts Council to replace the lighting system through a grant. The sound system and just upgrade the whole theater. Because that is the heart of arts and entertainment and performance here. Harriet Hall doesn't cut it. It's a big boomy place. The Eagle building, there's no other place where we can hear music and have performances. And it's sad to see the borough just dragging its feet on at least putting a roof on the building. But those are my two comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you for waiting. Is there anybody else in the public who would like to speak? Okay. Ned.
Thank you. Just relating to the departures of staff, speaking with a borough staff person the other day, they were joking that the last person to leave the building should turn off the lights. We're having such an exodus of staff, and I think that the borough really needs to take a hard look at why that's happening and what we can do to secure a staff that's going to serve us in the future. It should be a real canary in the coal mine to see this kind of turnover, and it's I think, really demands close reflection. I appreciate the Assembly members' thoughts about that. There's even been discussion that recently that, you know, maybe we should figure out how to pay more and automate some of our processes, pay more for the few people we have and automate some of our processes. Maybe even going so far as to have security cameras all over town. Maybe we can afford to hire, pay enough for cops that we, three cops that we can keep them around and have a couple shifts or partial shifts covered by cameras. I think it's time to relook at the fundamental ways of how we do what we do, given our staff issues. Secondly, just on this fireworks issue, I sincerely apologize that I could not make the committee the whole meeting, and I appreciate you looking at it. I think, again, what I would just want to stress here is that what your insurance agent has failed to see is that the good of the community, the good of the borough is the good of the community, and the borough should be looking out for the best interests of the community. And if you have an event where there's a potential catastrophic repercussions, it's in everybody's best interest for that to be covered adequately. And that's what we've has fallen by the wayside here. And I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Ned. Right. Is there a motion to adjourn, ladies and gentlemen?
Move to adjourn.
Okay, so second. Okay, all those in favor, you are adjourned.